I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
I don't care a button. I don't care a thing.
Hey, Buttons and Figs kids. Welcome back from the summertime zone. We hope you enjoyed all of Sheila's sketch comedy nonsense fun this summer. But now that fall is here, it's time to get back to sharing wordplay our way. This fall, we'll be sharing some great book recommendations, and you'll get to meet some fabulous authors. And, of course, we'll be celebrating Halloween with some scary stories, songs, and spooky nonsense. So let's kick off this back-to-school season by sailing our sieve to the land of great book recommendations. Do you have big dreams, but sometimes feel small? Well, you're not alone. On this episode, Buttons and Figs kid Deborah shares a great book recommendation about a mouse who has big dreams too. So let's get started by sailing to the land of Lulu, the Broadway Mouse. Thanks for coming back to Buttons and Figs, Deborah. Deborah is our super reader, if you remember our episode that she did with
Wings of Fire.
Yes, she shared the series Wings of Fire and has these great drawings about dragons and ways that you can play with the characters from Wings of Fire. So I encourage you to check that episode out. But today, for Back to School, she is going to share the book
Lulu the Broadway Mouse.
Lulu the Broadway Mouse? What is that about?
It's about a mouse, and her biggest dream is to perform on Broadway. She lives in this Broadway theater, but it's impossible for her to get on Broadway. At least that's what she's told.
And does she believe it?
Yes, but she believes that she will not be able to, but she hopes that she can.
And tell us, like, where is this set? Like, where is this taking place? What's going on?
It is in New York City in the Sherbert Theater, and they are actually hosting a play. It doesn't say what play, it just tells you that they're doing a play.
Okay, so you get the whole setting, and that's a real theater.
Yes.
And so you get this whole setting, they're actually on Broadway, and this little mouse has a dream.
Yeah, tiny dream or big dream.
Is that the theme of the book?
Yeah, that no dream is too big for you to accomplish it.
And so tell us a little bit about how Lulu gets from having this dream to what happens in the book.
She helps out whenever she can. She learns all of the dances, all of the musical numbers. In understudy performance, she helps out whenever she can, and she does it along with the humans. The humans are her friends because mice can talk in this book.
And how do they become friends? Like, how do they meet? Is that like a startling experience when the humans discover that these mice can talk?
Well, yes, at first, but Bet, who is a customer, she's the oldest person there. She was the first one to talk to a mouse and to trust a mouse, and from that, they were kind of all friends, and by the time that it came to Lulu, it didn't show how she met them. Like, they were already in the play, they were already friends, and everything.
Ah, and so Lulu, like, knows this theater, is kind of grown up in this theater, right?
Yeah, she knows it like the back of her paw.
Her little tiny paw. And yep. What challenges does Lulu have? Because Lulu is a mouse. So, like, how does that work to not only be noticed and not stepped on, maybe, but how does that work to where she gains the trust of the grown-ups?
Well, she has, like, already had their trust from the start, but she gets more and more helpful, and she tries to prove that it doesn't matter about her size. She can be just as valuable as any person.
And what do you think about that?
I think that it's very inspiring, and that there is no one too small and nothing too big for you to overcome it.
But is it easy to overcome those challenges?
No, you have to like embrace it, and you have to say like, I know that this is a thing, and you might go through some different emotions during it, but you just have to like keep calm and like just know that you have those emotions and embrace it.
And does Lulu have ways of doing that, like things she says to herself or things that she talks about or sings, or is there like, what's Lulu's way of overcoming those fears?
Well, she uses theater in her, like, emotions. So when she's sad, she'll make, like, references to theater. And when she's happy, she'll still make references to theater. But it helps cheer her up and get her not nervous or anxious.
What sort of things does she say? Can you share, like, a phrase from the book that she likes?
One time she said, and faster than you can say, the Tony goes to Hamilton.
That's great. Because why? Because Hamilton is
A Broadway musical.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's always like just thinking in terms of Broadway musical. Like she relates her life to a musical, right?
Yeah. She has said, if my life were an animated cartoon or if it was a musical, she's said that type of stuff.
Yeah. Do you have stuff like that for your own life or things that you say to kind of help you through things that are challenging?
Well, in my memories, I think of it as a video that I can replay and see like how I can reflect on my actions during that, if they were good actions to have done or if they were like not the best at that time, and I can reflect and do better the next time.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's really neat. I mean, do you use books or do you use, when you say video, are there movies that you like that you do that with, sort of allow you to step outside yourself and see yourself differently?
Yeah, when I'm reading a chapter book with no pictures, I actually like, so I imagine that I am in that world and they are talking in front of me and I picture it and stuff.
Oh, that's so cool. So did you picture yourself in Lulu's world?
Yes, I pictured me as one of the audience members.
Oh, so you took a different perspective, like watching what was unfolding.
Yeah, because that's kind of what a book is. You're seeing it. And you are experiencing what they felt, what they were thinking, but you're not there, but you can pretend you are. You can immerse yourself in this imaginary world.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Did you kind of want to be Lulu sometimes? Did you feel like Lulu sometimes?
Yes, actually. 'Cause I have big dreams, too, that and I'm very small compared to the entire world. And we're all just like tiny and we have to overcome obstacles that will make us bigger.
And do you sometimes feel like it's hard to be heard because you're small or it's hard to be noticed sometimes?
As a kid, yes, because sometimes grown-ups don't take you that seriously when you're a kid. And so you have to really speak up and like, you have to know what you're going to say. And sometimes you have to tell them, I'm talking, you have to listen to me.
Yeah. And is that hard to do?
Sometimes it is.
Do you ever get in trouble when you do that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
But does sometimes it work?
Sometimes it does, especially with my dad and mom. When I'm like, okay, but I don't want to do this. I want to do this. They will, like, listen to me and take me seriously if I have reasoning.
Oh, so you think it's the reasoning that sort of grabs their attention a little bit?
Yeah.
So maybe you're saying to them, like, hey, I've thought this through. I'm not just...
Yeah. Like, I'm not just making a reckless decision. I have thought this through, and I have thought it in my head of what I'm going to say and how I'm going to present it.
Wow, that's good advice for kids, right?
Yeah.
That might work if you're having frustrations out there.
It might work. Don't like, break anything to get their attention. Just talk to them.
Yeah, talking works with grownups probably better than breaking things, I would say, as a general rule.
Yeah, because if you just break something, they're going to listen to you even less.
That's usually true, right?
Yeah.
They might know that you're upset, but yeah.
And they'll think like, oh, they're just feeling sorry from themselves, or, oh, well, we made the right decision and this just proves it. Like, they're not responsible enough yet.
Yeah. And then that feeling of being a kid, it even kind of becomes like you're even smaller in those moments, right?
Yeah, because we did this without thinking because you made us, like, we had our evidence, we thought about it, but you still did not listen.
Yeah. And those are hard moments, but they happen too, where you did everything you thought you needed and should do to bring something about, to bring a dream about, but does it always work out for you?
No. And humans say no a lot.
Does Lulu hear no a lot?
Yes, she's heard, no, that's impossible, or no, a mouse can't be on Broadway, no.
Yeah, and what do you think about that? What do you think about the word no?
I think that we say it way too much, and it's like, no, I can't get that job. Oh, no, I shouldn't do this. Sometimes that's a good thing, but you should try it sometimes. Like, if it's a situation of, no, I will not get that job, you should tell yourself, yes, I will try my best, and go for it.
Yeah, that balance between, like, when to say yes to things and when to say no. There's a time for both, I think.
Yeah.
But that saying yes to yourself to try things, I think, is what's really important to remember, and to not stop before you've tried.
But this doesn't mean that you should say, like, yes, 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 I can do this, I can do that, I can get a cookie from the jar after bedtime.
Right.
Because that some of those are no questions.
Right, right. Or dangerous stuff, you know,
you
that you probably,
like,
should say no to.
Yeah, you just have to, like, know when to say yes and when to say no. Like, talk to someone about it, and, like, maybe someone who's more experienced, and learn from your mistakes.
Right. Like, find that brother or sister or friend who knows how to get more cookies when you want them.
Yeah. I feel like it's really thrown around a lot, learn from your mistakes. And so people don't take it that seriously. But it's actually something that you should do. And people just using it carelessly, like when they do something bad, they're like, oh, I'll just learn from my mistakes. But you have to actually look back on that and actually learn and do something different the next time.
Yeah. So what you're saying is kind of like, keep trying, but don't just keep trying the same thing. Like, if it didn't work, try something a little different. Change something. Think about why it maybe didn't work. Was it the time and place in which you tried to do something? Was it something different about that you could take a different approach with others that you needed help from, or whatever it might be? Just,
yeah, and like, if it was in your control, because I went to a theater camp and we did auditions. It was like a play for Annie, and we did auditions. I think I did pretty good, but I got a really minor role, but at least I got to talk, and it was actually very important-ish. I got the dog catcher in it.
That's cool.
And a few lines, but it was still really important, and even though I was disappointed, I still, like, thought, hey, that wasn't in my control. And what I could do is project my voice more and, like, have a sturdier, like, thing, I guess, and improve more till I go back.
Yeah, and then just really treat what you did, what did happen, right, that you got this role, like, then to really put your full self into that.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like, when you do something that you have to take up your entire self in it, like, you have to jump in and immerse yourself.
I love that. I wonder, I think maybe it's time to ask our listeners, what sort of mistakes maybe have you made in something you really wanted and you tried it, but it didn't go exactly how you wanted it to go?
Yeah. Like, so while you're reading the book, think, like, how she feels and how you have felt in a time like that. Sounds like a school assignment, but it actually could work in helping you control your emotions.
Yeah. And you can make it not so school-like. Like, you could just think about it. You don't have to write a report or anything.
Like, if you're super artsy, maybe you could draw something about it and, like, immerse yourself totally in it. Like, just, like, think about it, or, like you said, go run around outside.
Yeah, like, because sometimes you need to step away from things in order to immerse yourself back in something, right?
Yeah, you need to, like, step away from everything, and you need to think, or you need to make a bunch of noise and run around to clear your head.
Yeah, however you sort of, those moments where you think best, you know? Some people, it's taking a walk. Maybe it's going to jump in the pool. Maybe it's going to just hang out with some friends for a bit.
Yeah, as long as those clear your head and you can get into, like, being more calm and stuff. Find what makes you the most happy and calm and do that more often. Like, for me, it's kind of rock climbing. I don't do it that often, but it makes me very happy.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I love going for a walk or a bike ride with my family.
Yeah.
That makes me really happy.
Now it's your turn. Think about a time when you had a big dream. But when you tried to achieve your dream, things didn't quite go your way. How did you feel? What did you do to make yourself feel calm so you could think clearly about how you might do things different the next time? What things do you like to do to make yourself feel calm, happy? Feel free to pause the episode here if you'd like to talk about your big dreams. After our great conversation about Lulu the Broadway Mouse, Deborah had a dream of her own. She wanted to write her own song inspired by Lulu's advice about achieving your dreams. So Deborah and I scheduled another wordplay session to do just that. Here is Deborah's song, sung by Lulu and another mouse friend.
You didn't know?
No. What should I know?
La, la, la.
Oh, no. Don't start singing.
No dreams too big. No dreams too small. No one's too big. No one's too small. You got it?
I think so.
Okay, then let's sing together. No dreams too big. No dreams too small. No one's too big. No one's too small. Okay, now let's make it into a real song.
Okay.
Tiny dreamer, big, big dream. Tiny dreamer, big, big dream. No dreams too small. No dreams too big. No one's too small. No one's too big. Everyone has a big, big dream.
That sounds fun.
But remember, if it was easier to get the dream, then everybody would have it.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I'll remember. Thanks, Lulu. Bye.
You're welcome. See you soon.
All of the lyrics and the instrument tracks you hear on this song were created by Deborah. And once the song was written, we recorded it together. Deborah is the voice of Lulu, and I'm her mouse friend. We then took our voices, and with a little audio magic, we pitched them up so we would sound like mice. And after you read Lulu the Broadway Mouse, we hope you'll write a song too. Deborah found some quotes in the book that she liked, and she thought about what made Lulu so resilient. Then she wrote out the lyrics for her song, using those quotes and thoughts. And she added a lot of repetition to the medley, so the message of the song would sail on through. If you would like to know more about Broadway musicals, I highly recommend that you read this book that Deborah has just shared. And who is it written by?
Jenna Gavigan.
We will have links to her website. And there is another book, is there not, Deborah?
Yes, there is actually, after you've read this book, it is actually very fun because there is a second book. It's so exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's always good once you love a book and the characters and the setting to then have a second one or a sequel.
Because I was reading this because a friend had given it to me. And I didn't even know that there was a second book and I loved it so much. And then my grandma was like, okay, do you want to see if there's a second one? And I'm like, yes. I was so excited when there was a second one. It's just that good. And I really, really, really recommend that you read Lulu the Broadway Mouse. It will be so exciting. There's so many twists and turns in both of the books. And once you read the first, you're going to want to read the second. It's an amazing book, and it can actually teach you more about yourself without you even realizing it.
Well, I don't know if you need any other excuse but to run to the library or the nearest bookstore and read about Lulu and her Broadway adventures. Thanks for this episode goes out to Super Reader and Buttons and Figs Kid, Deborah. Thanks for sharing the books you love with our listeners. And a special thanks to her parents and grandparents for making the time to talk about books, ideas, and to make a little mouse music. Here at Buttons and Figs, we not only have great book recommendations, but we also have great podcast recommendations, too. Want some news you can use? Well, then stop by the 10 News Studio and join hosts Ryan Willard and Pamela Kirkland every Wednesday. The 10 News team covers everything from Ukraine to the Supreme Court to Minecraft and Pokemon, all in a bite-sized podcast for kids and their adults. When you listen to the 10 News podcast, you'll hear awesome guests like Lego Masters Judge Amy Corbett, Dr. Anthony Fauci, or the voice of Pokemon Ash Ketchum. Make the 10 News podcast part of your family's routine to connect, explore, and learn something new. Listen to the 10 News podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, that does it for a wise and wonderful book recommendation episode. Stay tuned this fall for more wordplay heading your way.
yes, 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 I can do this, I can do that. I can get a cookie from the jar after bedtime.
This is Pamela Rogers, host of Buttons and Figs, wishing you a little bit of wordplay each and every day. How pleasant to know you are listening.
You've been listening to a Buttons and Figs podcast.